Hello and welcome to another crossover episode with Jacob Roth from The Jacob Roth Show. And if you guys remember last episode, if you listened all the way to the very end, only the real ones will remember this. But we did talk about some new news that is coming up. And the time has come that we're going to drop that officially on you. And that is that we're deciding to combine channels in a way. We're going to be converting this podcast that you're listening to right now, the Lojo Woe podcast, into the Next Man Up podcast is the, interim name that we're going to go with.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll do that. And so it's, I guess, going to be officially the two hosts of it are going to be me and Jacob. We can both upload independently on it, and we'll definitely do tons of episodes together. We'll be talking about football and basketball, and anything else we want to talk about, because it's our show. But and even we'll probably get eventually, I'm guessing, some other voices on there too, like our buddy Anthony, whenever we want to hear some trash basketball takes. Or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so that is the news. We'll be doing that. I think it's going to be beneficial for both of us, just because it gives me another guy to talk to and make the podcast situation, a little bit better, editing wise, and also like final product wise. I think is much better when there's another guy on here. It's more of a conversation. And then also for Jacob, just because, you know, he has a lot of stuff going on because he's a college student. So him uploading episodes is pretty sparse lately. And I think that me carrying the uploading load a little bit allows him to just thrive in his talent of talking. So I'm glad to be his support for that. But yeah.
Yeah, I've never been hyped up that much, and I really appreciated it. Yeah, so I'm super excited for this. I think it's going to go really well. Like Logan said, I think the fact that just us, one, being able to keep each other accountable, like, yo, let's record an episode tonight, and not just, oh, I want to record this, and then not doing it, because that's what happened to me a lot. Or I'd record an episode and then realize I don't have time to edit this, and just kind of having someone that can keep each other accountable, I think that'll help a lot. Super excited for what's going to happen. Yeah, so.
For sure.
Rock and roll.
Well, so off the bat, we should probably jump into what's going on right now, which is Monday Night Football. And it is a big game. Even I know that, just because of, like I said to Jacob earlier, the last names of the two quarterbacks going up against each other. I know who they are. So, yeah, it's 27-10 right now in favor of the Chiefs. The first half is about to end. But yeah, Jacob, do you have any initial thoughts of the first half so far?
So I've been watching. I was working, so I wasn't able to get the whole first half in, but I've kind of been watching here and there, and I have just not been impressed in any way, shape, or form with Baltimore's off. The Chiefs defense is bad. That is not a question. That's a fact. They're pretty bad. Consistent. They're not like super bad, because like they won a Super Bowl. They're not like the worst of the worst, but like there's a lot of things that do better. But, I mean, they're forcing turnovers now that, like, just before, as you were giving an intro, Lamar Jackson got strip sacked, like, right before he got the ball moving forward. Chiefs fell on it right after that, a big touchdown to Mecole Hardman. So, like, Chiefs offense is humming, going well. Last week with the Chiefs, it was kind of wild because they struggled with the Chargers, and it's been a whole craziness. But this is definitely the future of the NFL, at least quarterbacks, I think, are gonna play a pretty big part in what the future of the NFL is going to look like. Both of them a little bit more mobile. Mahomes obviously got that big contract in the offseason. And Jackson's going to get his bag here in this next year. So it's definitely very, very everything going anyway. But yeah, so that's kind of all I got for this game right now. I've been watching. Chiefs look good. Ravens don't. That's where it's at this far. But second half just ended. So who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
First half just about ended.
Yeah, second quarter.
Second.
Yeah, numbers.
Numbers are hard.
I almost said second half earlier too, but yeah, like you said with the Mahomes. I was just curious. Mahomes got his bag last offseason. I remember that happening. But so is it similar to the NBA where their first contract, rookie contract, is a 4-year, and they after the third year is where they kind of sign an extension usually?
NFL's, it's similar. It's not the same, but it's pretty similar. There's a lot less team, like team options aren't a thing in the NFL.
Oh, really?
You're also guaranteed money in the NFL, and you're not guaranteed in the... Wait, maybe I have that back. Too many sports bouncing.
Yeah, I think NBA, all the money is always guaranteed. NFL, some of the money isn't.
But the NFL, though, I'm pretty sure they do get a 4-year contract, and then teams have like a thing like that's like rights that they get to extend the player. It's like, yeah. But like there's a minimum rookie salary. It's 4-year. First round picks can be extended to 5. And it's a whole thing. I need to look into that more. I wasn't ready for that.
No, sorry.
It's totally fine. It's just something that like in the NBA, like you hear a lot more about contracts and stuff like that. But in the NFL, just like guys need to be paid. This is what people get paid. And a lot less like nitty gritty and stuff like that. And I think that 2K probably helps a lot more with that too, because you're like, when you sign a guy in 2K, it just is a lot more in depth than in the Madden games. So.
Oh really? Yeah, I like it. I think it basically runs with the same rules of the actual league in terms of how you sign contracts and stuff. Except for like those specific bonuses, like making all NBA teams and stuff. But
yeah.
So I guess I do know a little bit about it because of just playing like my GM and stuff.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But I also like in off seasons look at a lot of players' contracts on SpotTrack and stuff like that because I'm interested in some teams in their free agent signings and things. I'm usually weird because like, you know, most people will just be like, oh, where's Kevin Durant going? Where's this person going? Which I do care about that too. But a lot of times I'm also like thinking about all these role players, like interested in where they're gonna go.
Yeah, like Kent Bazemore a couple years ago. Hot topic. Uh-huh. No, and that sounds like a joke, but that was real. Like I remember having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Because he was there's a lot of role players that they're not the big names, but like this offseason is one where there's not very many big names moving like at all in terms of being a free agent. But there's a lot like Fred Van Fleet, I feel like he's dancing past role player. But there's guys like that who, like, where they go could change the landscape of the league.
Yeah,
like,
him, Gallinari, Dragic, those guys.
Well, let's say Dragic goes, you know what sounds pretty cool?
What?
Los Angeles. You know what I mean? Like,
that Clippers would be or Lakers?
Either one, honestly.
Oh, okay. For Dragic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I do. Honestly, both teams would actually be really good for him.
They would. He does his job very, very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also,
Mavericks would also be an interesting one.
That I don't even want to think about that. I don't know. No.
Okay.
No, that would be so spooky. Like the Mavericks are already a team that I'm excited to watch, but that would just make them like crazy. That's not what they're missing, but like it kind of is. It's like also the big veteran presence that he provides, which is weird because he's not super old. He's older, but he's.
He's 35. He'll be 35 next season.
Oh my goodness, he is way older than I thought he was. I thought he just like crested the hill of 30.
No, well, he's 34 right now.
How many seasons was he overseas for a while?
He came into the league I think when he was like 21, 22. But
so a little late, but not super late.
Yeah, but his first several seasons, you probably didn't I hadn't even like really started watching basketball yet.
Phoenix.
He was in Phoenix for a long time, like longer than I even knew.
See, that's like, what I think is I just didn't realize how long he was in Phoenix.
When he won Most Improved Player, he was like 28.
Oh wow.
That was one of his last years in Phoenix. Like he was it was when Shaq was in Phoenix when he was a rookie.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's actually super wild.
Yeah. So, he's older than I think a lot of people think. Just because it feels like he hasn't been around super long, just because his like where he kind of shot out of nowhere was in the early part of this decade.
Yeah.
And it felt like he was young then, but he really wasn't. He was like in his prime then, so.
Yeah.
But
he's playing age-wise. Really well now. Like he's
Play-wise,
he's playing great now. He's filling a role and he's on a very good team that is hot. I'm gonna say that they're hot. I don't know They're good, but they're really, really hot. As of mm-hmm.
True.
Heat, the Heat, LOL, but I'm... Anyway, but yeah. I guess we could talk about that, where we kind of already, on a roundabout way, got to that. But there's bigger news in the NBA, but mm-hmm. the seamless transition, I feel like we need to jump at the opportunity.
That's true. So you're talking about Heat versus Lakers?
Heat, Lakers, and kind of just... Both of our teams made it pretty, like, I was not happy with how the Celtics season ended, especially because mm-hmm. of how that game ended. Like, the last, for those, it was the Celtics game, the Celtics lost in six, so Heat won in five, or the Heat won in six. Mm-hmm. I mean, but just that last game was so disappointing because they just didn't play. It was Sunday. It was close. It was like 105, 107 was the score at one. And the game ended up being 113 to 125. Like,
yeah, they pulled away at the end. Yeah.
And it just was really just disheartening because, like, this team, the Celtics team, I was so pumped about. And I was like, no, I didn't think they had the chance to win the finals. But I was like, you know what? Like, if they play good and they get hot, they could be a contender for the finals. And they were. I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals is nothing to, like, be bummed out in. But dang, the end of that game just hurt. And that's when I really, like, got, like, thinking in my head a lot worse. Like, how is this team going to, like, that locker room thing in my head. I was like, maybe that was bigger than they made it seem to be. Like, maybe there actually is problems. And I was like, okay, now I need to calm down. Because I just got – but the Celtics were so close, they just need one more thing. Like, one more – it's a big. They need a big. A four or five that is just a big person. Preferably a five. By the name of Andre Drummond, which I already wanted to happen, but whatever, Danny, it's okay. The GM for the Celtics he's done a crazy good job for a very long time, so I shouldn't. He's not the reason. It just matchup. Bam Adebayo, kudos to him. He's a baller. Like, he came out after game five when the Celtics pushed it to six, and he's like, I got to play better. Then he just goes like 32-16 on like 80% from the field. So, yeah, he showed up. Good job. Like, not even, like, being sarcastic. Like, really good job by Bam. Yeah, 32 on 11 for 15 shooting, 10 for 11 from the free throw line, 14 boards. Like, that – give me a waff. You can't – that just – any stat line like that's going to be exciting.
This is a – this is a really good team to lose to, I'd say.
I'm not upset. Like, I'm bummed, but I'm not – that's the best way to put it. I'm not like, oh, man. We should have beat, like, they're a very good team. I'm bummed out, but I'm not, like, super.
Yeah. And there was, I feel like a lot of people might not know that the Celtics, how close they were to actually being able to win this series. I think if a couple things break differently, I think Celtics actually could have won this series if Jason Tatum just had a couple good first quarters. No. It seemed like every game. First quarter was just rough. Like, it took him a while to get going. And, like, mainly that, and then also, obviously, the big thing is, like, the zone, figuring out the Heat zone just did not ever seem to happen for the Celtics.
I was really surprised. I was very, and I don't know if, like, they retooled little, like, Eric Spoelstra is a very good head coach. Like, this is kind of jumping over to the coaching side. Eric Spoelstra is a very good head coach. And now you're seeing all these stories about, like, oh, look, Eric Spoelstra, Cinderella story of the century. He was a film, which I'm not trying, like, it's a great story. But he's always been a head coach. Like, I've never, like, quote-unquote, slept on Eric Spoelstra. He's, like,
one of the, as good as a head coach in the league that there is, I'd say. Yeah.
He's also one of the few head coaches that LeBron wasn't able to push out. You know what I mean? And there's stories of that and stuff, but... And I don't know how much of those are real and how much of it is like, oh, LeBron pushed out every head coach and Eric Spoelstra stuck around.
I think the biggest thing was not Eric Spoelstra. It was Pat Riley.
Telling LeBron. With Eric,
No. He was like, no, this is my guy. You're not going to do this. Yeah.
And it worked out. I mean, LeBron's not a Heat anymore, and the Heat are in the playoffs. And a big part of it is because I think of how Eric Spoelstra has kind of directed this team. Obviously, the guys on the court are the ones balling out, but like, letting Jimmy Butler be that vocal leader and yelling at, you know what I mean? Like, that's just something that's a big part of coaching too. Yeah, making those mid-possession switches, like, oh, that ain't going to work. Being able to dissect stuff on film, stuff like that, that's, but like, the ability to like manage personalities. Like a perfect example, that's Phil Jackson. Like, anyway, that's a whole another rabbit hole. We can go down some other time. But anyway, so that was my half of the dream, Logan.
Yeah, I was just going to say with the whole zone thing, I think Brad Stevens, I think where he is kind of like this even to a fault, like it's a part of his coaching that is a advantage at times, but at other times it can be a disadvantage, is that he's really pro like player empowerment, of that you do you, just make the right play. Like like it's always in the player's hands to make the decision and stuff like that. Like he won't get on Marcus Smart for taking bad shots usually and stuff like that. He's kind of like, you know, you do you, just take, you know, make the right play.
He gives them the ability and he'll give them things. And that's a big thing. And like at him, like, yeah, he does do that, but he also does not take credit. He also deflects that with like the, you know, yeah.
Like he does have offensive schemes and systems and stuff, but like within those, you know, you have options, and a lot of times he's not advocating for a certain option. He's like, you make the right play. You know, it's like always case by case, and he's giving the power to the player. But in terms of this zone defense that they were going up against for six games in a row, it really seemed like what he talked over with his team was like a theory of how to beat the zone. But it was too much in the players' hands of deciding it. And with them not having the experience of playing against a zone very much in their NBA careers at all, because this is like really the first season that it's really broken out where teams are using it in the playoffs, other than last year with the Raptors, and that was the only team that did it. Like this is really uncommon. And that's the reason why it's catching so many people off guard, is because they're just not used to playing against it. And when you're giving the power to the player to make those decisions, sometimes they just are, it's a little awkward. They don't really know what to do. And it seemed like that really the whole series, he was trying to get somebody in the middle of that zone around the free throw line area while coming off some screens in the zone, which isn't a bad idea. But once they get there, it didn't look like they had a legit plan. It was more of like, you keep going. Sorry.
No, it's all good. You were on a roll. Those are really good points. But like, what you were saying just then is there was moments where it looks like the Celtics broke it and there'd be stretches and runs, but it's because then something a little bit different would happen with the thing and then the players would have to refit. You know what I mean? If they were to play another series of seven, I'd be curious. You know what I mean? Because those guys have seen that, and you could remove it way down the line type of thing. Like even next year, the same Heat team hits a Celtics team that I think will be pretty similar. Like, what's it going to look like type of thing? So,
I think the zone will kind of move in and out of style, as I think it has for a while. Like, I mean, I feel like the past decade, zone was basically extinct from the NBA for a long time. And that's because back when it was used, I don't know, 15 years ago, teams got so good at figuring it out, because it is such a flawed defense. And when basketball gets to that high of a level,
It's hard
to have a really good zone, and it's like way easier to beat it with an offense.
Yeah.
And so when teams really figured it out, it became almost useless. And then now with a whole crop of players who've never played against it in the NBA, it's a whole new weapon to pull out of your back pocket, because nobody goes against it.
Thabo Sefolosha is the only bastion left.
Yeah. And so it's like, I think what I'd like to see from Brad Stevens, if I was a Celtics fan, in that series, was, you know, I like his philosophy of like always make the next right play. Like that's always what you hear him saying when he's mic'd up in the huddles. They always make the right next play. But I think when you're going against a zone like that in the Heat, I think he really should have had more of like an idea of like, every time they pull out the zone, we're going to do this exactly to them, so they can't use the zone anymore.
So they can't bully us in the zone.
Yeah. And so yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I almost like, and that's the thing where like, I wonder what he says outside. Like if like comments like that were made when they were practicing, you know what I mean? Or just what, and it didn't look like it, but like if that's something that as he progresses longer and longer in his coaching career, which I hope is a Greg Popovich length in Boston, as Popovich had the Spurs. Like I hope Stevens is in Boston for a very long time anyway. But like over his time being a coach, if he like adapts and like, in situations like that, even if it's not in huddles, he'll, like, during practice, be like, okay, if this happens, we've seen them do this on film, this is what we're going to do to a T.
Mm-hmm.
Run it type of thing. You know what I mean? I'm just curious to see. Just because, like, I mean, Brad Stevens has made the playoffs since he's been the head coach, but, like, he's never really fielded a team until this year that I felt like had a genuine chance to win an NBA championship. Granted, this team, I thought things had to fall their way. But, like, this is the first team I felt like the team he had really had a genuine chance to give almost anybody a run for their money type of thing. You know what I mean?
Other than maybe at the beginning of the season last season. Before the season fell apart right away. Like, you know, like at the beginning of the season last year, I feel like a lot of Celtics were much more of a favorite than they were this year. Maybe you.
I'm tracking. Yeah.
Just because they had, you know, they had that team that just went really far, had their playoff win.
And then Kyrie. Run,
when they didn't have anybody, when Hayward and Kyrie were out and they had young Tatum, young Brown, Terry Rozier pop off, that kind of stuff. And so then they were like, yeah, the Celtics are going to be really good this year. And then the whole Kyrie super team, you know, him being the leader, I do in air quotes, of the team, all kind of fell apart.
He's a locker room cancer and he'll never change.
Yeah.
I feel about Kyrie Irving how, like, Pistons fans feel about Michael Jordan. Totally different reason. But, like, they just don't like him because he's who he is, you know? Like, you were like, no, get that away. Don't bring it up. That's how I feel about Kyrie Irving. I bought the 2K because it was Kyrie in a Celtics jersey and Tom Brady on the other. I was like, this is cool. Both of them are my teams. Nope. I wish I didn't own it. Kyrie in a Boston gives me nightmares. Also, yesterday I bought a Marcus Smart jersey. Or Sunday I did.
Oh, okay.
That is yesterday. So, yeah, either way, yesterday or Sunday, I bought a Marcus Smart jersey. So that's fun.
Like a real jersey, or is it like a...
A real jersey. It's the black city ones.
Oh, nice.
I thought about getting the dark gray ones that have, like, the parquet, like, that you can barely see, or the parquet, whatever it's called.
Yeah, however it's pronounced.
But
that pattern,
That pattern that their flooring is at TD Garden. But I ended up just doing a Marcus. It's the black one, I really like it. It's clean. Marcus Smart's a guy that I also hope is in Boston for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, enough about my life and my favorite in the... Yours ended a day earlier? 2 days earlier. A day earlier.
Yeah.
Just break down. So for those of you, it was the Nuggets, which is Logan's team, but this is his podcast. You guys all know that. And the Lakers. So Logan, how did you feel? 5 games, right? It was.
Yep. It was game 5 where it ended. I was pretty mad at times in the game from a combination of things. You know, mad a little bit because I felt like, you know, we were a little sold a little short in some of the games prior. I felt like it really could have been 2-2 this series with
100%.
Of the games that could have gone either way. And so I was like, at least I could count on at least one of those probably being it should have been ours. Whether it be the refs just being terrible or AD hitting a very lucky for not, I shouldn't say lucky. He's a very skilled player, but they were lucky that Plumlee had such a, I shouldn't just totally blame him, but the Nuggets defense had such a breakdown. So
I feel like you brought it up with the Celtics, like a few things go a different way and the Celtics could have won that series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd go so far to say the Nuggets could have won because I have not seen, like, I've seen LeBron in big games. You know what I mean? And I haven't seen any Nuggets in, like, Game 7 of conference finals type of big games. I've seen them in playoff Game 7s, but it's a whole different monster when you realize you're about to be in the NBA finals type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there was a couple plays that goes different. AD doesn't hit that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that. There was a couple games and, like, there's a couple plays that make this series totally different, just like the East. Like, that's – and that's the thing that makes it really good basketball. And the bubble's been like this, I think. Just this has been really good basketball on both sides. But sorry, I kind of cut in.
That's good. It was good. I just, another part of why I was angry was just watching LeBron just decide to go LeBron mode finally in game six, or I mean in game five, actually, to right towards the end. I think in the fourth quarter he had like, I don't know, like 18 points in a row is what it seemed like, but probably not that much. It was heartbreaking, I'd say, for a little while, but I kind of made my peace with it before the buzzer even sounded.
Yeah.
Kind of deciding, like, you know, Nuggets had a really good run this year. I picked the Lakers at the beginning of the season to win the championship, and I picked them at the beginning of this bubble to win the championship. So I should be happy that, you know, the team that I picked is still there. So I'm not too mad about the finals matchup. I would say I'm more excited about this finals matchup than I ever remember being excited about finals before.
And it also doesn't help that a lot of the time that we've paid attention for a while, but like we've never been like intense into basketball since like, okay, the first year I remember, you might've been before me a little bit, but it was like Warriors Cavs. And I thought the Cavs were going to, in 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Warriors Cavs again. And then it was Warriors Cavs again. And then, oh, cool, it's the Raptors, but the Warriors are all injured, so they have, you know what I mean? So, like, it's just, like the year, and it hasn't been that long, it's, what, 5 years back? But, like, there hasn't been a series where I'm like, I think I know, but I really don't. Like, if the Heat stay as hot as they are, the Lakers suck at covering perimeter shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say suck. If they had their full roster, they'd be better at it, but, like, that's what they lost with Avery Bradley. Was a guy to be able to cover Dragic and Tyler Hero. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's too many guys on the Heat that are dangerous for them to have a guy to assigned to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that Lakers kind of got, I wouldn't say lucky, but it was a good team to face in the Western Conference Finals with the Nuggets that offensively, we really had nothing to go to other than Murray and Jokic. Like, that was our game plan. And you could plug your
two guys on those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
or not directly, but
it's easier to stop two guys than it is a whole roster full of bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. That'll make you pay. Like, it's
that. Mm-hmm. The Heat are just like that. They're a cohesive unit. That's like we don't have a primary option. It's like the number one option is the open man. Like, we're just going to keep swinging the ball and make the right play.
Yeah.
Kind of like what I was just saying with the Celtics. I think the Celtics are more like that than any of the teams in the West this year, too.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics are a little bit top heavy, more so than the Heat, though. You know, because Celtics have great top five. Great top five. But after that, Tice is situationally a good sixth guy. But
yeah.
Other than that, it really drops off a mountain.
I'm cautiously optimistic about both the Williams, but we can talk about the Celtics and their roster some other episode when we break down teams or whatever we do. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
I don't need to go down. I don't need to be talking about Grant Williams when we're talking about the
Indians. I like him though. I think the broadcaster said it last game that he provides a little bit of what PJ Tucker does with the Rockets. And I think that's true. But with the Heat though, they're like, you know, 1 through 12, really just really good. Like, they were bringing Solomon Hill in game 5 and 6 and he was playing well.
He did what he needed to do.
Yeah. Like, he's like this nice veteran guy that made good plays.
Wasn't a liability. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh. Yeah.
And what was so like irritating, but like, oh my goodness, you'd watch and then the Celtics would get their second guys in they barely got second guys in, but when they did, you'd be like, okay, like we just got to hold on. But then the Heat would bring their second guys in. I'm like, what the, like Jay Crowder and Duncan Robinson / Tyler Hero, depending on, they've been playing Hero more, but like when those two guys are your like part of your second unit. And, like, in the playoffs, you're not subbing every starter out at the same time. So, usually, those two guys would be paired up with, like, Dragic or... that Heat team is...
And they have Iguodala coming... In this series, none barely got in at all, and he was a first-team All-Rookie this season. They just have a lot.
It wasn't an injury or anything, was it? They just had, like, the matchup?
No, he did get injured at the beginning of the bubble. So
oh yeah, he did. That's
he was removed from the lineup, you know, in a whole rotation, and that's really why Hero started playing more. They started starting Jay Crowder, and all that. And so then when he came back and he was healthy, they kind of just kept rolling with what they had because they were playing really well.
And they were super hot. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but they started starting Dragic. Excuse me, Crowder. I think was already part of the lineup. Dragic is the one that they inserted into the starting lineup because he was the sixth man the whole year. But yeah,
this team is very, very fun. And yeah,
go with tons of different configurations. They have like different camps of players. Like they have like just the dogs defensively. And like Jimmy and Bam and Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
And then they have the shooters with Hero and Robinson and even Dragic and Jake Crowder. Has been taking almost all threes this whole playoffs. He's it's always like he has 12 attempts from the field. 10 of them are 3-point attempts. Like that's what every game has looked like. So they have like their shooters and they're just dogs defensively, and they have their ball handlers. They just have all that.
And some guys cross over into both camps. It's wild. Honestly, a big thing for this series for me is I think it's going to be the matchup between AD and Bam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that'll be a big one. And then I think Jimmy Butler, LeBron will probably be on each other. And I think that could also be like, though, and it seems like no duh, the two best players on the Lakers are going to be part of the things to watch. But like, if Bam like doesn't shut down AD, but like if AD is only able to average like, let's go
24, 25, or
I was gonna say like 20, and if he's only like a 20 and 10 guy, which seems stupid, this Laker team needs him to be like a 25 and 15, or you know what I mean? Like
at least that probably. Yeah.
They need him to be bigger. So if Bam can slow AD down enough, same thing with like Jimmy Butler, LeBron. So like LeBron will go LeBron mode and try and pick up that slack. But if Jimmy Butler only like if LeBron's going crazy, holds LeBron to like just under 30. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be very, very interesting. And it's going to get really, if this goes long, you're going to see like some really tired, like kind of like that Celtics Raptors. And almost like the guys started the next game tired too, because they just had these long, like dog fights. And I'm very excited. Like you said it, this is the first time I've been like this excited for the finals in a long time. And
yeah,
I'm also curious. I've always been in the boat that I think it will be a lit. Do you think people will put an asterisk next to this finals?
I think it's definitely going to happen just because people are like that. The question that I have is like, is any of this fluky? Does anybody think that any of these teams being here is fluky? Some people from the outside looking in might say, you know, 5-seeded Heat, that's weird that they're here. But they're just that good of a team, honestly.
No, but like that was the thing with the Heat. Nobody wanted to play the Heat. Like that was the thing before. If you paid attention, the Heat were a team that you're like dark horse was a word that you heard way too often with the Heat and with the Mavericks. Like, yeah, the Mavericks are a 7-seed, but they're kind of a dark horse. Yeah, the Heat are a 5-seed, but they're a dark horse. You know what I mean? Like, and the Heat, granted, I think they probably played the best basketball they could have, which not every team did. But I wouldn't say it's fluky. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Like, for sure, things would probably be different if the season just continued as normal. There was no stoppage. For sure. I'm not going to say that it wouldn't have. But what you're seeing right now is not... We're not seeing, like, Orlando versus Dallas in the finals. Or Dallas is probably a bad example. Portland. Orlando-Portland in the finals. Like, that's not what we're getting here. You have the Lakers, who have been this favorite. Them and the Clippers have been the favorite all season. All season, And then you have the Heat, who were overachieving, but at the very, very start of the season, in the first few weeks, everybody was like, "Whoa, what the heck? Look at the Heat!" Like, this is a really good team. Like, it was unexpected, but a lot of players took a jump, and players fit well together better than people thought they would. And like with them. Their record being where it is at 5, I think they're better than what their record is. The reason why they're where they are, I think, has a lot to do with them figuring out lineups kind of all season long, having so much roster change, the whole Deion Waiters situation, how he was starting at the beginning of the season and then had his whole breakdown on the airplane with the edibles.
Yeah. And did you see that there's another Varejão. There's another Varejão situation.
Oh, how he could win the ring with either team.
Yeah. Waiters technically qualifies. But as a competitor, like, if the Lakers lose, as Dion Waiters, I'm not asking for a ring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
if I'm the Heat, I probably don't give Waiters a ring because he didn't provide any value to this team. Like, it's different. Last year, with them not giving the ring to Valanciunas and DeLon Wright, that was a robbery, in my book, because they played there all the way up until the deadline, and they're the only reason they were able to trade for Gasol. They're the people they gave up for Gasol. Like,
that happened. Does this happen to Varejão twice?
Really? Did it?
No, I just said
Valanciunas. Oh, okay. Did I say Varejão?
Oh, no, I got the
I might have said Varejão, but I meant Jonas Valanciunas. Yeah.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
Because they traded him to Memphis for Gasol. Yeah. And Gasol was a big part of the reason they were able to win last year. I don't think they win the championship without Gasol last season.
No, he played so well in that final. Yeah. Even to get him to the finals.
For sure. Like, against the Sixers guarding Embiid.
I think Philly would. Yeah, 100%.
And guarding Giannis was huge for them, too. So without him, they would have had Valanciunas down there, which is a very different look. I don't think it would have been the same. Also, so that's the big thing. I think Valanciunas probably should have deserved at least more so than Waiters would this year, for sure. Because Waiters. They didn't trade him away. They just dropped him. They cut him from the team, and he wasn't playing for the team. Yeah. So what has he provided? You know?
Yeah, no, I was talking because, like, it was the 16, whatever finals, Varejão was playing for the Cavs, and then it was Cavs-Warriors, and he got traded to the Warriors, or he got picked up by the Warriors. So technically, like, it was the exact same situation where both teams, like, he had enough percentage or whatever for both teams to get a ring.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that they didn't give Valanciunas one. That's
Or DeLon Wright, which Valanciunas probably would been the bigger one because he was the main centerpiece of that trade. But
I get, like, the whole you weren't with the team when we won. You know what I mean? Like, I get that. But if Dion Waiters, if he asks for a ring if the Lakers lose, I hope he gets clowned. I hope the whole world just exposes. Man, just for being an absolute anti-competitive clown. He's not even doing anything on the Lakers. Like, he's a body, and he shows up sometimes, but, like, he's more just a chubby body. I think
he can provide a bit of spark plug scoring. I don't know if you'll see him at all in the finals. That'd be a surprise to me, but he did that earlier in the bubble. So I guess, he's not nothing, but, I get what you're saying. Also, I think I might be just backing up a little bit because he's a Syracuse guy, and I have to stand up for my bros. But
that's fine.
Yeah.
speaking of our college teams and their guys, we've had flawless transition. This one's a little bit extended, but there is a new coaching vacancy in the NBA that is potentially going to be filled with an ex Nebraska baller. But let's talk about the vacancy before we get too ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, true. So Doc Rivers did release a statement. I think it was today. That he's resigning and stepping down as the Clippers head coach. Honestly, he sounded kind of sad. I feel bad for Doc Rivers. He probably got a ton of smoke from just the world, making him feel bad as a coach and a failure of a coach. Because holding that, you know, how he's given up 3-1 leads, which is he's the only player to even give up two. I mean, only coach to give up two. So there's that. He stepped down and said, like, basically he had these goals to make it a reputable association franchise where they can draw free agent attention and, you know, kind of put it on the map. In this Western Conference, make them a perennial playoff team, and ultimately compete for a championship. And he said he feels like he's accomplished a majority of those goals, but the main one in winning a championship, he feels like he will not be able to see through. And so he thinks that this roster is good enough to make it there with the right leadership. And he basically left it at that. So it sounds, yeah, a little bit, I would say, self-deprecating.
See, my thing, I wonder, I don't know, like, I'm not a big Doc Rivers guy. I think that he has never made a team perform better than anticipated. I feel like every time he's in charge of a team, they either barely meet expectations or are way under them.
Yeah.
He was an NBA champion. He coached the Celtics. That Celtics team got such a lift from free agency that wasn't him. You know what I mean? Like,
trades, but yeah. Because they traded to get the big three.
Was it both trades? I thought one of them was free agency. I might. Anyway.
Maybe. I guess. I don't know. But I know, like, KG was a trade for sure.
KG was a trade, yeah.
Yeah.
But like that, I'm just not, like, I don't think Doc Rivers is a bad, I don't use the word bad, because he's not a bad head coach. There's coaches that are bad. Like, coaches that I don't remember that were in the league 2 years ago, that's how bad they were. Like,
yeah.
There's bad head coaches. I just don't think he's a champion. He is a championship head coach, but like,
that level of coach.
There is a list of, he's probably like 10 on my list of coaches I'd want if I were to start a new NBA franchise above him.
Of current coaches right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
also think coaching in the NBA right now is at a very good spot, but there's guys that I would just rather have. And I wonder though, if this was him coming to this on his own, or if they're like, there was just a knock on his door and it was Steve Ballmer. Okay. Hey Doc, you ready to go? It was sad how he kind of beat himself up in the message.
Yeah.
And like he did, like he threw all the no blame was placed on the players. He's like, this team's good enough to. Very good word.
Yeah. Also, I think if there was a guy who, is it in the higher up in that association that wanted Doc Rivers out of there for this, not liking what he saw this postseason, it's probably Jerry West.
Yeah.
Just because, his whole reputation, he's all about like being, holding yourselves accountable and holding yourselves to the highest standard and like all that kind of stuff. I don't think he really appreciated a lot of Paul George's post game comments about, this wasn't our season and, it's not a win now situation and just stuff like that. Kind of like, I don't know, trying to make excuses for it's okay for us to lose. And I think him maybe kind of thinking, a change in leadership is really what they need to have done with that. But
I also wonder if Paul George is still there
next season.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I agree that Jerry West probably
is chop. Maybe not. He's not gone. But if it comes out, the Lakers or the Clippers, chopped Paul George, I won't be like, what?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I do. I do feel like Jerry West is probably very regretful of trading all.
Oh, you mean sacrificing your whole future?
Yeah,
or not your whole future, but like your draft future.
I can't remember who it was. I think it was Chris Vernon on the Ringer NBA show. But his son is like 10 or 12. Yeah. I don't know, something like that. And he said, he did the math and he said the next time the Clippers will have a first round draft pick, his son will be starting college.
Oh.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That they're going to have all these seasons in a row just having to retool in the offseason without draft picks and also trying to make trades with that, because draft picks are a huge thing and just trades and everything.
Yeah.
And not having that is going to be tough. And the Thunder has way too many. I doubt the Thunder use all of their draft picks that they have, like as actual draft picks. They have to be using them in trades and something like that.
There's no way they make that many selections. Not a single way.
Yeah.
But I don't know why everybody's coming to this realization now, like this late, that like, the top of the draft is a lot of guys that are boom or bust. The middle of the draft's kind of nice. Like, people are just realizing this, that picks like 10 to 15 are like really, really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, why is this a new realization for people? Like
I agree. I've been kind of
open your eyes.
Yeah, I've been kind of upset the past, I don't know, 6 months, probably even more than that, back when basketball was still happening. When people would talk about this draft and like talk about how it's like such an awful one, because I know what they're saying, that it's very, the top of the draft is not enticing.
It's not top heavy.
Yeah. But like there's so many guys like in that late lottery range, like I don't know, 5 through 30 really, are all just like, there's so many long, nice guys that would really fit this league. Like good switchable defenders that can shoot. Like that's like, if I was a GM right now, that would be like what I would salivate over, like a player like that. And there's tons of them in this draft.
Yes. That's why like I was bummed initially when the Grizzlies were doing well, not because I didn't like the Ja Morant story and everything like that, but the Celtics get the Grizzlies pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
But then like this whole thing, I was looking at, I was like, who's coming up? Cause like, I remember hearing about Zion and RJ and Ja and all these guys. Coming, Kendrick, like all these people, I didn't really hear about Kendrick. That's a person that you got hyped about early last season, like, or this season, I guess. It just feels like last season because of the break before the bubble.
Sorry, who?
Kendrick Nunn.
Oh, Kendrick Nunn. Okay.
Yeah. So, but like, I was looking at the guys where that Grizzlies pick is at. Fine. I'm not upset. Granted, the Celtics don't need another like stretch wing, but
don't you have? 14, pick 14 this year. I think that's what it is. I think so. I guess I don't know for sure, but
Danny Ainge moves stuff so often it's hard to. Yeah, we have pick 14.
Okay,
last one of the lottery. But like, yeah. I'm Jay chilling at 14. I'm not upset in
no, yeah, for sure.
Way
you're,
possible.
You're gonna get good value there. I think this might be a draft where you see a lot of the guys at the top, maybe not a lot, but you might see some teams at the top trade down. And
if I'm Golden State, I'd trade down.
Yeah. Like honestly, that'd probably be good.
James Wiseman isn't bad. Deeper. No, because you're like a team like Golden State. You don't need to go find a guy because you have two of them.
Uh-huh. And drafting James Wiseman, like, what are they going to... I mean, I guess he runs the floor really well, so it works for them wanting to play fast. But I think Marquese Chris runs the floor pretty well, too, and he's a lob threat. Like, he's going to provide a lot of what they want from James Wiseman.
Yeah.
And they already have him, so...
Why would you not just back further into the draft and get... You know what I mean?
And get 3-and-D guys, I think, is even a better option for me, personally. But there's no, like... There's no top... of the line 3-and-D guys. There's just like kind of like the more lower, like for role players. The only top one is Anthony Edwards, I would say. He's the only one that has like 3-and-D potential as a star.
And he's he's gone top three, arguably one.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Just fit wise, he's probably gone one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Where do you think LaMelo goes?
I don't think he's going to Golden State. I doubt that.
No, I highly doubt that.
I could see him going to Minnesota more so than I would see him going to Golden State. Even though that's unlikely too, because it's number one pick. But I don't know. With this weird of a draft, really crazy things can happen. It reminds me a lot of the Anthony Bennett draft where guys like nobody was really sure of like where guys were going. It was kind of like, oh, this guy looks really good, but he has these downsides.
Yeah.
This guy looks really good, but he has all these downsides. And so then like, that's how you get a guy like Anthony Bennett getting taken off the board at number one, who was like projected to go like, I don't know, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And you know, cause Nerlens Noel was probably that whole year, the favorite. And I think Noel's kind of like this year's Wiseman. Except for Wiseman's not really struggling with injuries. It's more so he didn't play in college hardly at all because it's the whole Memphis situation.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I think the thing also about that draft, people are like, why do they not, like, Giannis project player. He was a guy that you, like, he's got the intangibles. We like his personality. We're just going to have to, like, not tank, but, like, just have him take a roster spot, get minutes, grow as a player. Like, there was a lot of guys, like, because, like, looking back, that draft wasn't terrible. Yeah, Anthony Bennett, like, but you got Oladipo out of that draft. You got Giannis out of that draft. You got, I guess, Noel's kind of turned into a role type player out of that draft. Mm-hmm. Like, you got
he had star potential coming into it for sure. Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. yeah. You got a lot of guys like that in that draft. So it's not like, it's not as big of a, like, it's not a widely blanketed bust type of thing.
Yeah. True.
It's crazy. NBA's crazy. I'm excited for the final. I'm excited for next NBA season. I'm just excited. Sports are back, and I'm loving every second.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we should probably mention, as I think you alluded to it earlier, that Ty Lue, former Nebraska Cornhusker, his jersey's hanging in PBA.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
We should not have any rap anyway.
What? What'd you say?
We should not have any rap.
Oh, us as a team. Okay.
How is Nebraska ball the only power five? Only. Not even like, oh, no one likes it when you use absolutes and full, like, words that mean aggressive. The absolute only power five school to not have a tournament win. What?
Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Oh, tournament win. Like, one game.
One game.
I thought at first you were talking about national championship. I was like, there's no way that's true. But okay, no. Yeah, I see what you're saying now.
You go through every other Power 5 conference, and guess what? Every single team has got a one in the win column on their tournament. Guess what Nebraska's got? Zero.
Yeah. What about Big East? Do you know about them?
I think there might be zero
in there too, to be honest.
In the Big East?
Yeah, just because that would be the sixth if you'd say Power Five, they're the sixth one. But
oh no, 100%. Butler's got to win. UConn's got to win. Creighton's got to win. DePaul, okay. Marquette's got. I'm going through the ones I know have wins, and then I'll look at the ones I'm not sure. Providence's got to win.
Does it tell you, or are you just going off?
I just remember.
Okay.
Seton Hall.
I feel like they have.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, because I know Butler does for sure.
Yeah.
UConn Butler made it to the
championship. Yeah.
UConn won a championship. Multiple. Creighton's won one, haven't they? Won a game?
Oh, won a game. Yeah, I'd say so.
Georgetown's won a game. Marquette's won a game.
For sure, with both of those, Dwayne Wade led Marquette to the Final Four, and Ewing was on Georgetown. Plenty of players were on Georgetown, but yeah.
St.
John's definitely has. They have the most.
Weren't they like a 10th seed or something?
Maybe, but I they have the most NIT tournament wins, like of NIT championships. They have the most ever, so I'm sure they've won a game in the big tournament.
I feel like they have, but I don't know. And then Xavier and Villanova, we don't even need
to get into those. Yeah,
I guess DePaul.
What are you looking at this on?
I was looking at the conference website, and then I'm gonna go through and look at the history of DePaul and see if they have any NCAA tournament wins. Oh yeah, they've made the Final Four.
Oh wow, yeah. So
in 1979. So, yes, they definitely have a win. But guess what? Okay. Nebraska does it.
Wow. Yeah. That is just crazy.
It's very sad. That's really
crazy. But, yeah, anyways, Ty Lue, he's getting the head coaching job there probably. That's just a probable thing, I'd say. That's what I'd predict anyways.
Yeah.
But he honestly probably has his pick of the litter with what job he wants.
Yeah.
I think Philly would take him. I don't know if all the Philly fans would want to take him, especially our friend Anthony.
Yeah.
But
Anthony doesn't want anybody to coach.
Yeah.
Every single name that comes up, he goes, no.
D'Antoni, which is weird that he's excited about D'Antoni, I think, is kind of weird. Because I don't think D'Antoni fits super well with Philly. If I was a Philly fan, I'd be nervous about hiring D'Antoni. Like, it'd be like, I don't know. There's something crazy has to change.
Yeah.
There's no way D'Antoni's coaching that team.
No, you know? There's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to trade a lot.
But where D'Antoni goes, I think Harden goes.
You think so? Even if it's New Orleans? What if it's New Orleans? Because I think D'Antoni in New Orleans would be fire.
Yeah. Honestly.
That'd be cool.
Okay, I don't even know. That's the world's wild.
Yeah.
Okay, Logan, can you make a cut really quick in the video thing?
Like,
future you.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we are back. I just made a jump cut because Jacob was preoccupied.
Yep. Christmas emergency.
Yep. Christmas emergency. All right, so we are back. We are going to talk about, I think, two things really quick for sure. Number one being, we kind of already touched on it, but the Nuggets. Just going to expand a little bit more on my thoughts of how this season has ended for the Denver Nuggies. But yeah, so in the Western Conference Finals, that, you know, coming into the bubble, that's really what my goal was. That's what I said a couple times. I think I said it on the very first episode of this podcast, was that I wanted the Nuggets to make a Western Conference Finals, and that is what happened. So, you know, I really can't complain there, I guess. But a lot of what the series was, you know, a lot of what I would say pretty questionable calls. And a lot of them, you know, if they're isolated, you know, you can't get too mad about them. But after so many of them piled up from game to game, all seeming to kind of be more in the Lakers' favor, was just a little bit annoying. And, you know, I'm not one to ever say that the league is rigging anything, but that was a big narrative and storyline that a lot of people were spreading around and buying into. Even our friend Anthony was actually even more upset about the refs' behavior than I was in this series. So yeah, there's that. That feels a tad bit unfair at times, but you know, basketball is basketball. It's going to be a bit decided by the refs sometimes. That's just because of human error and, you know, things out of our control. Well, they're within our control, but they're definitely going to happen. But yeah, and then also just the fact that we have played nonstop basically every other day for months, really. The Nuggets having two back-to-back game sevens, seven-game series, and then coming really straight into the Western Conference Finals, and then having a team that really relied super heavily on both Murray and Jokic. Jokic being in a body type that does not really support longevity in conditioning, just for obvious reasons. But and then Jamal Murray being pretty beat up after playing consistently like over 40 minutes a game for all those games and getting knocked around quite a few times on his drives to the hoop and, you know, having that deep thigh bruise that he got in the Utah series with Joe Ingles. He hurt his ankle in this series, I think, and it's just stuff like that. He's kind of hobbling up and down the court in game five. So that was kind of sad to see that everything just kind of fell apart. And also me being a bit frustrated with Malone not really trusting MPJ in any way, shape, or form. Only trusting him in like, oh yeah, 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Here, have some shots. And he makes like all of them. And then we don't use him at all down the stretch. And instead, we keep Millsap in there, who really this series has been just as bad defensively and way worse offensively. So there's that. But yeah, I'm not too salty. Just wanted to get those off my chest. And I'm excited for both the Celtics and the Nuggets moving forward. I think both of these teams will be really good. I think Jacob just texted me the other day saying like he's calling next year's finals. Will be between the two of us, which would be very cool for sure. And if we are allowed to go to games with, you know, the state of the world right now, if that is possible, then I would love to go.
I'm absolutely down.
Yeah.
Granted, this is calling it way in the future. And I don't know the price of an NBA Finals game ticket, but I feel like we need to hit like game one or like game two. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about game two. Nothing's on the line. It's not the first game at either venue, you know?
Yep. Yep.
Game two or game four, depending on who's the home and away. You know what I mean?
I'm guessing we'll probably go to Denver just because.
No, yeah. But just logistically.
Yep. Yep. Makes sense. Makes sense. But yeah. So I guess that was a bit of pouring out some liquor for the Denver Nuggets and my sorrows. But yeah, the Celtics had great season two. Both teams were really good. And honestly, this close. I think history kind of sucks when, you know, these seasons aren't remembered by a lot of people just because of how they ended. And also, also the Celtics and Raptors having one of the best games in recent basketball history, I would say, in game six of their series.
Yep.
And how that might not live up to, you know,
because one of the teams didn't make it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if the Celtics would have ended up being champions or the Raptors, if they would have made it through and they would have been game, that game would have been just plastered everywhere.
Yep. That,
like, oh, this is the game they did it. You know what I mean?
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And I was actually going to watch that game today. I didn't actually get around to it, but you know, cause League Pass, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if it's still like this, but I checked it probably a month and a half ago now. To get League Pass, like not just Team Pass, League Pass, the whole league, they cut it down from like $130 for a year to like $25 for a year.
Oh.
So I got on that.
Yeah.
So I can watch any game that's ever happened, I think, whenever I want. And I've already watched it. Yeah, it's awesome.
No, I bet.
Yeah.
Watch any Mellow Nugget games.
Uh-huh. And it cuts out, it literally cuts out all of the commercials. So it just, it's like the game, every game is like 45 to an hour max. That's how long it is. And yeah. it's just a moment to, it's like play to play to play to play, basically. It cuts out all commercials and stuff like that. So I think that's awesome. But I was going to watch through definitely that game for sure. And I think after this whole postseason is over, I'll probably watch through a lot of the Nuggets games and any of the other ones that I thought were memorable. I might even go back to last year and watch like that, the Sixers and Raptors game seven where Kawhi hits that shot and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, those would be fun. But yeah. And then also continuing with obviously the most important thing about this series or this season is the finals. So Heat versus Lakers. One thing I think a lot of what I've heard from casual fans, I don't know if you listened to my last episode, but I kind of went in on a lot of casual fans talking about things that people say. Namely, I might cut this part out, but I might also just throw him under the bus. But namely, our friend, kind of, you know, he's a guy who is, he doesn't pay attention to the league for most of the season and kind of starts paying attention around this time around the conference finals. But he has pretty fully formed opinions about things sometimes and we'll argue about them. Like we were arguing about how he thought the Celtics would be the better team to beat the Heat, or I mean, beat the Lakers in the finals. And I don't think that's a horrible case or anything, but he was,
that's not that hot of a,
yeah. But the thing that was, he like was completely just overlooking the Heat. Like he was like saying that,
yeah.
I was just confused by it. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, he kept saying stuff like the backcourt of the Heat is too small, which I don't know where he got that idea. Dragic is 6'3", Hero's 6'6", or 6'5", Duncan is 6'7". If you count Jimmy as a guard, he's 6'8". Like, I don't know. the Celtics probably have a smaller backcourt.
No, for sure.
And then also...
Smart barely hit 6 foot. Kemba's at... short of 6 foot, like,
yeah,
or maybe Kemba's 6 foot.
I think he's probably like 5'11", but yeah, somewhere in there. And then I think the biggest thing is the Heat have veterans, and then also they have defensively people that can match up. You know, like the Celtics might have some people that you could throw on LeBron, sure, they got Tatum, they got Brown, heck, even Smart sometimes,
yeah,
but. They don't have who's going to guard AD in a playoff series. You know, who plays
Daniel
Tice.
I'd
be curious if me and you, or really any people who watch basketball, like throughout the season pretty moderately, at least, you know, at a decent clip. If we did a draft of who is your number one pick, who's the best available defender right now playing today that you would want to guard Anthony Davis in a playoff series?
Marcus Smart. I'm just kidding. until you said the Anthony Davis part, I was going to say Marcus.
Oh, okay.
To guard AD.
Yeah.
Probably Giannis.
That's fair. I would probably also say Giannis.
Or Bam is another one.
Yep.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah, that's exactly what my point was.
Yeah.
Was that after the first really two, I'll modestly say even three picks, you're going to pick Bam. Like, he's going to be one of the best options in the league to put on Anthony Davis in a playoff series. And he, you know, coming into the Bucks series, it was the same type of thing, just with Giannis, him on Giannis. And he proved that was a fair assessment.
and he's ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the Heat as a whole is like, you know, they didn't even have Bam primarily guarding Giannis all the time. Because they had Brooke Lopez in there at center a lot, and they were running Bam at center. So they had Bam on Lopez a lot of the games, and they had like either Crowder or Butler or Bam all switching on and off of Giannis.
Yeah.
And all of them were doing a pretty good job. Especially Bam.
No.
But yeah.
Sure.
And so in this series, they have defenders for days. It's ridiculous. And they've not had a long season. They've played just as many games as the Lakers have. In this postseason, they're both, 12 and 3. They're both 12 and 3. For this postseason, because Lakers have lost one game each series. Heat swept first round, lost one, yeah, two, second round, and lost two the third round. So, yeah, they're both 12 and 3. Heat, you know, obviously you take the top two guys with the Lakers, they're the best two guys in this series. That's undoubtedly the truth. But the next seven, probably, maybe, like, definitely five for sure. Depends on how you rank these guys, but five, six, maybe even seven guys, the next seven you would take are all on the Heat's roster. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a quantity over quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to say that the Lakers guys are quality guys, but like, I think Caruso could slip in there. Maybe I'm more high on Caruso than most people.
If you put Caruso on the Heat, I probably definitely not in top five, not in top six.
He probably doesn't play.
Yeah,
he doesn't play real minutes. Yeah, you're right.
Just because
he plays with LeBron so well, I think that also value.
Yeah, it's just like this Lakers. Yeah, this Lakers team, like, the guys on the team aren't bad guys, but they're underqualified, I think, for the roles that they're playing.
Yeah.
I'm also not picking the Heat in the series. I'm not saying that. I think the Lakers are the prohibited favorite, and that's with good reason.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying Heat have a better chance than a lot of people think.
Yes.
I'd say. Yeah. That's.
And I think even that when you see like people that don't actually know, like that kind of, they say Lakers in six, like six,
mm-hmm,
not an easy series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, six is not an easy series. Yeah, true.
And a lot, especially when those six games, some of those games could be close. Who knows, type of thing. So mm-hmm, I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm super excited as well. Yeah, that probably concludes our NBA talk, unless we want to go any deeper on anything, but this has been a pretty good length episode, I'd say. So
no, for sure.
Last thing want to maybe just throw out there is, what are your thoughts on college football right now? I know we kind of talked about it right before this episode started, but was there anything you wanted to say on that?
Mike Leach is going to change the SEC forever. He's just a coach that was at Washington State. And then he's down in the SEC now. He's changing things up. He's the coach for Mississippi State, and like there was an SEC game and it was like shootout. It was wild.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a shootout. They kind of just rolled LSU. Granted, LSU's really beat up, it was not that same LSU as last year. 44-34. Anyway, but I'm not really that in tune college football until my team gets in it. Nebraska's my team. So when the Big Ten play starts up, I'll get who's this, who's that, how things matching up, who might we see in a bowl, and I'll get a lot more kind of stretching my fingers into every corner of the league. But yeah, I'm really excited for that. Next episode, hopefully we'll do, there'll be a little bit more football, not hopefully, but there'll be more football news probably because the NBA will be, you can only talk about the same game for so long without other people getting bored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my true college football take. And I'm super pumped for this whole Next Man Up podcast thing going forward. I think it's going to be really good for me, especially. I hope it's good for you too, but I'm,
yeah, for sure.
Hopefully,
for sure.
Most of all, it is good for the people listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we forgot to do, Logan?
What did we forget to do, Jacob?
We forgot to bully all of the people out there to like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah.
So that's what important. You should do. If you liked any moment of this, any of my baby raging, any of Logan's good takes on the NBA, or just anything, if you liked any of it, hit the like button. You don't think it helps? But on my most liked video on my other the YouTube channel that doesn't exist anymore, after that one, that was like the most liked video was followed by the most video. Coincidence? I think not. Be sure to like, comment something you'd like us to talk about. If there's something going on in the sports world that we don't hit during this episode, bring it up. And yeah, subscribe if you enjoyed it enough so you get notifications. Logan.
Yeah. So I think I'll be switching the channel, I don't know, within the next few days, without a ton of NBA games going on right now, I'll definitely have more time to do stuff like that. I think that's going to be nice that it's like every other day. Now we're going to have a game instead of every day. But yeah, I'll switch it up. I don't know, Jacob, do we have an emblem yet or a logo?
I have been working on one kind of sort of. Okay. So we will. I can get you one since that, and that'll be a big reveal, big fun deal.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll probably keep all of these episodes that I've done on the channel, just called the Lojo Woe Podcast. And I might add to that, like on the channel on YouTube, it will be in a playlist called the Lojo Woe Podcast series. And then on Spotify, I think they're just going to be the first episodes in the feed and they'll say that's what they'll be called. And, the first Next Man Up podcast will just, I think we're just going to call it number one, with a dash, and then, you know, elaborate on the title of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it'll have, you know, the Next Man Up podcast logo on there. So everybody will know what it is. Also, we should maybe also record a little bit of a trailer, because I can put up a trailer on our Spotify for people to listen to just like on the feed and like a 2 to 3 minute length thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, we could do that sometime also. But yeah, I'm excited for this for sure, just because, you know, I like doing these podcasts and I think that they get really boring for even me when it's just me talking. So like, you know, it's fun sometimes, but I think it's nothing like having another person, you know, bounce stuff off of and everything. So I think that is where we're going to see the best growth for both of us in this. And I'm really excited for that for sure. Close though, just because, you know, it is a big game tonight and we haven't really talked much about it. It's still going on right now. It's in the fourth quarter. I know that we probably haven't been paying attention to it.
I have been.
Okay. You have been.
The Ravens mounted a comeback and then the Chiefs squashed it with the good old left tackle, Eric Fisher, going out for a pass, calling himself an eligible receiver to make the score. Is it 34-20 now?
Yep. Yep, that's the score.
Yep. So yeah.
Yeah. So you think, how good do you think the Chiefs are going to be this season? You think they're going to go undefeated or no?
They have the potential, but it's really hard. Andy Reid's not the best time manager. Mm. There'll be a team that gets them, but the Chiefs are a good team, 14-2.
Yeah. And then your Patriots, I saw they beat, who'd they play on Sunday?
They beat the Raiders. Cam Newton is looking like a comeback player of the year. And I would argue of MVP, but Russell Wilson exists, and he's on pace to throw 57 touchdowns. Or 75 touchdowns. I flipped the numbers, which makes it even spookier.
Wow.
Anyway, no, Russell Wilson's insane. He's averaging like 5 touchdowns a game. Absolutely.
Yeah, true.
That's true. Through 3 weeks. That's not even like, oh, one game he's averaging five. Ha ha ha. No, it's through three games.
Yeah.
It's wild.
That is wild.
It's absolutely wild. But yeah.
Yeah. So are you, you know, after three games also with Cam Newton, are you happy with the well, offseason?
I was okay. I was never not happy. The biggest thing is like I was never in a place where I wasn't happy. I was like, we're getting a quarterback that I think is being underrated for super cheap, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like a Cam Newton hater. I didn't love Cam Newton, but I wasn't a hater. Like I didn't hate his off, like his off the field stuff didn't bug me. I was like, he dresses fun, but that like a little different, but that's his thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't a hater by any means.
True. Yeah.
But then, the way he's playing, obviously as a Patriots fan, you can't be upset, but even like the stuff he's done for, like with the stories you hear about what he does with the Patriots players. Like I really like Cam Newton. Like, as a dude, like, I'm very happy about that part. They did come out and say that both the Patriots and Cam Newton are going to wait till the offseason to talk about any kind of extension contract-wise, which kind of bums me out because that means odds are he's probably not going to be in New England again. But it's been super awesome this year, and I'm only three games in, so I'm loving every week.
So why do you say that means that he probably won't be staying?
It's a money thing. New England doesn't really pay people.
But
they, like making it, it's kind of like what happened with Kelly Olynyk, but it's been happening for years. So like Kelly Olynyk was not very good, but they traded him for way more than he was worth to the Heat. Obviously, it worked out for the Heat. He doesn't play; he just watches. But anyway, but like they do that and they make guys look better than they are because of the system, and then they go on somewhere else. Cam Newton just deserves that much money. So like that's not a I just don't know if they'll pay him. My biggest
isn't Belichick the GM also?
Yes, it is the only time I think almost ever that being the GM and the head coach has worked. It doesn't usually work.
Other than Pop, well, in football,
yeah,
Popovich because, in the NBA is pretty good too.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, didn't miss the playoffs for like 20 years until this year. Like it was our entire lifetime.
Yeah, then, even longer. But,
it's. I could go down to an entire NFL rabbit hole, but we don't need to because this episode's already pushing.
Yeah, I'll probably cut out some of it. Like, you know, when you left and probably this part right now too. But I think that at least from what I hear from like Bill Simmons, that Belichick really likes Cam Newton. So
I do know that he really does like Newton.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I guess, for your sake that he somehow sticks around. But yeah, I guess the last thing I'll touch on is the my fantasy team. Last 2 weeks were pretty bad, like I explained to you. I don't know if you remember that, but how I went up against the number one and then the number three scoring teams in their respective weeks. Even though I'm the third highest scorer across both weeks total in our league, I'm 0-2. But this week looks like it's my week. I'm projected to finish with 120, and the person I'm going up against is projected to finish with 84. So a bit of a thrashing. Also, I had my Buffalo. Who's the Buffalo quarterback? Allen. Oh yeah.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen. Yes,
I saw his face.
So
he's like an in shape me. I'm just fat Josh Allen. Anyway, go ahead.
But Josh Allen showed out this week, apparently, had really good numbers. And I had him on my bench because Kyler Murray was projected to be a little bit higher. He outscored him by like 10.
Yeah.
But still, I'm still looking pretty good even without having Allen in there. So are you doing fantasy football this league or this year?
I am not doing. I just didn't have a league and I wasn't really feeling it. I wasn't feeling doing fantasy because it's a whole nother level of like not paying attention, but it's just.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I literally just use the projected scores. That's all. I literally just try to make the highest score I can projected. Yeah. And then I just roll with that. So. Not using any educated guessing, really, for the most part. Yeah. So, but yeah, That'll be this episode. Like we talked about earlier, please like and subscribe. And please stick with us as we enter this journey together. It's going to be, you'll hear just as much of me as you have been, probably. And you'll also hear Jacob, which is a plus because he has a beautiful voice. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Adios, amigos.